Okay, so we're going to open up in Romans 5, and we're going to start there. We're going to look at several scriptures today, but will make sense to what I want to hopefully can effectively speak to this morning. Okay, Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. That's a big word. My daughter said if you say this over and over fast enough, you'll have one of those little tongue twister kind of things that will happen, and she was enjoying that. Maybe you should try that, reconciliation. It's kind of hard to do that, but it's a big word, because my daughter was saying, that's a big word. It is a big word. We don't use it every day. It's a powerful word. It's something that God did for us. The basic understanding of the ministry of reconciliation is the Father reconciled us back to himself through his Son, through Christ Jesus. That Christ made the way for us to have a restored relationship with the Father. What does it mean to be reconciled? Well, we are. The Webster's Dictionary, the first definition in Webster's Dictionary is to restore to friendship or harmony. So it's just a basic understanding of reconciliation. It's where two things are very much apart, and yet they are brought back together. You know, last week I spoke about the prodigal son, and the prodigal son is a great example, maybe one of the best examples in the Bible of restoration, but reconciliation. There's a reconciliation going on with the prodigal son coming back to the father, and the father running to him. Where a dead son comes back to life. So it speaks of their relationship. It speaks of that what was once dead, the relationship, was now restored. If we look at the Bible, really, the overarching message of the Bible is reconciliation. What was lost in the garden was restored at the cross. It's a story of reconciliation. How we were far away from God and God brought us near. We know that sin separates us from God, and yet God made a way for a great restoration where there was dissonance, where there was a chasm that could not be crossed. God built a bridge and made a way to cross a great divide, where God and man could come back together and be in union. The Bible says that even while we were still lost in our sins, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us. He was the one who made the way. That our separation was so severe that we were considered enemies. Enemies of God. Have you ever considered yourself an enemy of God? Have you ever seen yourself that you were in that position? As an enemy of God, people sometimes don't realize that they're at great odds with God. You know, believing in God and trusting their lives in his hands is very foreign to them. That's not something they think about when they think of their lives. But God's great work is reconciliation. The work of the enemy is to deceive us, to separate us from God, and God's great work is to reconcile us back to himself. And his plans are good for us. Very good for all those who entrust their lives to his hands. Jeremiah 29:11 says it very clear. He says, you know this scripture. He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. The plans of the Lord. He's always out to break people out of prison, to set the captives free, to bring them into a plan of life and fullness of life and relationship. You see, this message of reconciliation is God, yes, He made a way for us. He made way for us. We're familiar with that. So I'm really preaching just a tried and true message that we know very well. And we know His plans are good and to prosper us, and this is good news. But we also have to see the relationship aspect. Yes, He's setting the captives free, but when He says, you will call to me, you will seek me, and you will find me, and you know, as you seek me with all your heart, this is about restoring a heart relationship. And in reconciliation, we know it takes two. It takes two. We're so thankful that God went first because really we had no other way. So God reconciles us to Himself. He forgives us and He saves us. Now, sometimes people, when they think of reconciliation, they think immediately of forgiveness. And yes, forgiveness is very important, very crucial, very critical, but it's not only forgiveness. And this idea of salvation speaks to that as well, because the Greek word here for salvation is sozo. And the understanding of sozo is to rescue you, to rescue me, to rescue us from great peril. That's the understanding of the word, to rescue us from great peril, because we were in great peril. As enemies of God, we were in great peril, that there was condemnation over our lives. There was judgment that was coming to us. That was righteous judgment. But that word sozo has greater meaning as well. It also speaks about bringing to life and bringing wholeness. We're not just saved from death. We're saved unto life. We're no longer enemies of God, but now we are in a different position as sons and daughters, as I talked about last week, and I feel like God was emphasizing so strongly to us that we're sons and daughters. Do you see yourself that way? Do you see yourself as a son, as a daughter of God, of the Father? And see that as good. So reconciliation to God takes on a greater context, because we're not just saved from, we're saved unto. And there's a life in God that's blessed. That's where we have deliverance and healing and wholeness in Him. There's a fullness of life in Him. And this is where reconciliation takes on a fuller meaning and a fuller context. You see, when the prodigal was reconciled to the father, he was fully a son. He was fully a son. That was established. You know, the ring and the robe and the shoes, it was all bestowed to him. Nothing he did, he didn't earn it. Actually, it was opposite. He was the prodigal who had wasted everything the father had given. He had wasted it away in sinful living. But he was restored to the father's house, fully a son. Yet, don't you think, and of course, the parable doesn't go on. It doesn't tell more about what was it like now to live as a son in the father's house. But you know, there's a process of learning how to live as a son. And I'm sure that as prodigal, for any prodigal, coming back into restoration, there's a process. There's a process of overcoming some things that need to be overcome, to live in harmony and peace with the Father, especially for someone whose heart had fallen away and been rebellious and hurtful and harmful. How many prodigals have that guilt and that shame of how many people they've hurt in life and how many people they've harmed in life and the things they said and the things they did and the pain they caused? So reconciliation is not just forgiveness. It's not just forgiving. There's a reconciling of a relationship, a bringing to wholeness, where the son can walk in the house not under condemnation, not under guilt and shame, not always feeling like he needs to go out and live in the servant's quarters outside the house. So reconciliation is more than forgiveness. It washes away the worthlessness that people sometimes feel on the inside of them. It says, no, that's not who you are. That's not your identity. No, reconciliation is reconciling you fully to the Father, fully back to Him. You know, in a relationship, any relationship that you have, and especially you know where you've had to forgive people in life, you know where you've had to do that, and that's significant, and maybe those had to forgive you, but in forgiveness, really, it only requires one. You can forgive somebody, and they don't even have to know that you forgave them. Now, it may be part of the forgiveness process that you need to do with that person, but you can forgive them, and they don't even know that you had something to forgive them about. So forgiveness takes one. It takes you. It takes the other person just to act out of their own will and say, Lord, I forgive. I forgive. I let go of that offense. I let go of that thing that I was holding on, that thing that so bothered me. Lord, and so much that does so much ministry in our own hearts to cleanse us from bitterness and things that build up anger and the things that the Lord wants us to be free from. But we know that reconciliation is not just forgiveness, even though forgiveness is a big part. There's a working back of a relationship to wholeness, to making a relationship come alive again, where two can walk together in harmony and in peace. So we know God reaches out to us, He reconciles us to Him, and it's our responsibility, because it does take two, to receive the gift of God, to accept the gift of God. And it is a gift. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything for it. It's a gift of God, and it's for us, and we receive it and receive it fully, because this is reconciliation. If we don't receive His gift, we cannot be reconciled, because it's our part to receive and to come near. Well, we can't come near if we try to stay outside the camp. And sit outside the camp when God calls us to come near to Him. So this is truly knowing what it means to be a son and a daughter, and it's and to wash away the shame. So God went first. He showed us what reconciliation looks like. And thank the Lord, because we would not know apart from Him. And that, yes, reconciliation is possible because of God. So yes, we need to know what it's all about. And now we have the ability to reconcile. We have the ability because God reconciled us to Him. The Bible says that we actually are to be agents of reconciliation, that we are given a ministry of reconciliation. So yes, we need to know what it's all about. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm just going to touch on two verses because there's more here in this passage of 2 Corinthians, but it speaks to this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He went first. But now, we are given this ministry that God showed us, this ministry of reconciliation. Are you ready for the ministry of reconciliation? Do you fully accept and receive the very ministry that God gives us? If we remember the story of Joseph and his brothers, we can see it also very clearly. Remember the Old Testament story where Joseph, kind of one of the younger sons, gets a dream, and all of his brothers, older brothers, are bowing down to him as he is one of the favorite sons of the father. His brothers didn't like him very much. They kind of grew a little bitter towards him, and they thought they would take care of him, right? And sold him to slavery. Joseph suffered. He was isolated from his father, isolated from family, pushed away, and he suffered. He suffered as a slave. He suffered as a prisoner. And it seemed like his life was just a very sad, sad tragedy. Yet in all this, God's plan was for reconciliation. In all that he suffered, in years of being in prison, being accused of things he didn't do, for trying to act and honor and act with integrity. And yet it seemed like what was bad was just getting worse. Well, somehow Joseph, walking with God, was able to see that God's plan for all of this was much greater. And he refused bitterness, he refused revenge. And when he was raised up in power, when that time came, after years of suffering, when that time came, he had already forgiven his brothers. He didn't forgive his brothers the moment he saw his brothers. He had already forgiven his brothers in his heart. And in fact, the Lord had put a love for them in his heart. And so not only he forgave them, he refused bitterness, and he set his face to extend reconciliation to them, knowing that God's plan was for good, even though he suffered. It was for good. And this is an amazing, a wonderful, great picture of the ministry of reconciliation. We can pick up the story towards the end in Genesis 45, 4 through 7. Just want to read this. When Joseph encounters his brothers and reveals himself to them, it says, "Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Come close to me.' And when they had done so, he said, 'I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance.'" God reconciled that family together. Those who thought this relationship was lost, even the father thought Joseph was dead, but God reconciled them back together, and there was a purpose. And even in Joseph's suffering, there was a purpose. Have you ever suffered because of a relationship before? I think I just asked a question that was everybody could relate to. Have you ever suffered because of a relationship before? Sometimes it's not always to see purpose even in the moment of how God can use suffering. Sometimes it was our own fault, or we were certainly part of it. And we can recognize that. And sometimes it might not have been. Certainly like Joseph, but there was a work that God was doing here when he was bringing this reconciliation back together. And he had worked in Joseph's heart and said, "I will hold no bitterness. I will hold no angst against my brothers, because I see a greater purpose in all of this. I see what God is doing, and I willingly and he had willingly given his life, and he saw that God had raised him up for a great deliverance. What a wonderful picture of reconciliation. Restoration of relationships, that they once again would be in harmony. And we know that they were in harmony, and Joseph was honored. And when Israel left, his bones were carried out with Israel to the promised land. Now, there are many pictures even today for what we can see for this idea of restoration. We're all in need of it, and we're all in need of reconciliation, every one of us. It's just part of life, and I think there's some great pictures that we see today. I mean, we see it easily in relationships, close relationships. We see it in relationships like marriage. I think that's a great picture. Marriage is not without conflict. Did I just state the obvious? It's inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. Any close relationship, if you're in a close relationship, it is inevitable there will be conflict. Or I would question whether you're actually in a close relationship or not. Because conflict comes. Close relationships have conflict. And we get a sample photograph of what this looks like when the ministry of this reconciliation takes place. I can think of it in my own life. I mean, you've had your ugly spats. I've had my ugly spats within marriage, and we've had our moments of sharp disagreements. No surprise. I'm human and you're human too. But we have had sharp disagreements. And I'm speaking of times where I've seen the Lord move and work. And I can remember times of having some heated arguments with Erica, and then we're sitting here and we're not communicating very well at all, to the point where we can't even communicate, and one person has to walk out that door because it's not going uphill, it's going downhill. And there's those times when you know, Lord God, you're not being blessed here. We just need to stop right here. And to walk out and have those feelings that you have when those times come, when you start at that point, even praying, which is a good thing, by the way, to start praying and talking to God. It may come with a little venting, but it has to come to the point where you're willing to hear God. And you may come to God and say, Lord, I don't see how this is working. I can't talk to her. She can't talk to me. We can't even talk. We're just angry at each other. We can't solve anything. In the midst of those emotions, it feels like nothing good can happen. As we're just so upset or so angry or so whatever it may be. And I can just remember being in a place like that where we can't talk. I'm so angry. She's so angry. I don't even think I like her. I don't think she likes me. Lord, is this even working? And there's just moments like that, and you have to go cool down and cool off. And you need, I remember at this specific point of just praying and praying to God and saying, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. And you know he does. He does. And what's amazing to me is that bringing God into the picture, he didn't say at that point in time, Mark, you have a ministry of reconciliation. Go work it out. I mean, I didn't hear that from heaven, but he did work in my heart. He did, as I pray and walk and drive and just, take some time, he did change my perspective. And in those times of praying and seeking the Lord, he even put a desire in my heart to reconcile. Now, it takes two, and I thank God I have a spouse who also prays. Because when I walk in and I say, would you forgive me for what I said and forgive me what I did? She was also praying, which is a good thing, right? Because she was able to forgive and I was able to forgive. And then we were able to come together hours later and pray. and ask God to help us. And it's amazing to me, because I remember praying together that, you know, you're inviting God into the conversation, and it amazes me because I really, at those points, see how God calls us to take his road of reconciliation. His road of reconciliation, I see it pretty clearly, because you go from being mad, and sometimes you have feelings of hopelessness, to you actually feel peaceful, restored, and love returns to your heart. Love starts coming back in and replacing those feelings of angst, and it gets replaced by peace and love. And to me, this is a clear indication of God's ministry of reconciliation, that the Holy Spirit works in some powerful ways, that you can go and be so angry where you can't talk to somebody, you don't even like them, to going through with God, taking you through to a point where you forgive, you let go, you resolve, and you say, no, we're gonna be stronger because of this. And actually feel that way, to actually feel that you love somebody that you could hardly even speak to hours earlier. To me, this is such a revelation of God's work and ministry and presence. It's very powerful. And you've probably had your own experiences of that. But you also know the difference when you really invited God into the relationship for reconciliation, and times when you weren't, like you were stubborn and you kind of stuck your foot down and said, I'm not ready for that. I'm not going to do that yet. And you let it persist for days or weeks. I hope you're not letting anything persist that needs to be dealt with. Because when you invite God into the conversation, when you invite God into the relationship, oh, it's amazing how reconciliation is way more possible than we will even think, that things can be restored. And I'm thinking of a couple of stories here, but I can't tell them all. I do think about the story of Joyce Meyer, and I've mentioned before, her dad abused her growing up, and it created so much pain and so much suffering. It created a lot of suffering for her. But when she came to Christ and the Lord was working in her heart, the Lord said, you know, forgive your dad. And that was a work of God, and God helped her forgive her dad. And that was a very huge work in her heart to forgive her dad. Her dad did not know the Lord. But later in life, as her dad was getting older and less, his health was declining, and also the Lord called her to pray for her dad, you know, pray for him, pray for his salvation. But in this situation, the Lord wanted to reconcile them. And the Lord had to work in her heart to extend, because her dad was not going to extend reconciliation. But remember, it takes two, right? It takes two. But the Lord called her to extend reconciliation to him. How hard is that to do? For someone who's caused you great harm and suffering, but to extend reconciliation to someone who caused so much pain and hurt in your life. And she did. It was a work of God in her, doing it in her. And it was a time of humbleness for her to extend. And she actually, when her dad was getting serious of health and issues, she actually took him into her home and took care of him and still continued to pray for him and minister to him and ultimately led him to the Lord, where toward his death, he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. What's so powerful about the ministry of reconciliation is you open the doors for people to enter in. You open the doors for them to know Christ. You open the doors for them to understand Father's love. You open the doors and you say, there is a pathway for you to the Father's house. There is a way. It's powerful when we extend ministry of reconciliation to others. And yes, it's their choice. And yes, you can't do it for them. But when we extend it, people then can receive the very thing that God did for us. While we were yet still sinners, he died for us. I think what a great picture. So yes, we extend the love of God. We extend the ministry of reconciliation to those who can be very hurtful people in their own way, in their own right. So we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. And there's so many examples of that we can see in the world that God does, and he works, and he calls us. And sometimes he calls us to work through our own hurt feelings and our own pain and where we've suffered to extend love to people. And sometimes maybe we haven't had pain from certain people, but it's just that we are called to extend Christ's love to others and show them God's love in a way that opens a door for them. It opens something for them that they did not realize was there. It helps them receive revelation. And I feel like that in the church is very important, because we also see that it's opening the door for people to receive Christ. It's also opening the door for restored relationships, because even Christians can sometimes sit on the outer realm and not enter in to be with the Lord or into closeness with the Lord. And sometimes we see relationships that are torn apart that need to be restored, and we see that in the church. We know people get hurt in the church. And we know that even there's sometimes we have to extend a hand to somebody and say, you know, God loves you. I don't know what upset you. I don't know what caused you to leave. I don't know what caused you to be so upset that you can't talk to this person or you can't, whatever it is. I don't know what it is why you're not in church today, why you're not amongst the body of believers, and you're isolating yourself. I don't know, but I do want you to know that God loves you. I do want you to know that even what you've experienced can be overcome. I do want you to know that there's so much more. If you will, God already has. If you will, you can step into what he has done, and you can experience reconciliation. You know, what we do also when we pray for people and we intercede is a ministry of reconciliation, because we're praying and asking the Father, Lord, restore them. And it can be a restoration it could be from a sin that has caused them to fall away and maybe backslide or something like that. It could be that. Or it could just be somebody who, in their pride and stubbornness, decides, I won't talk to so-and-so. I won't, you know, they make vows. I'll never do that. I'll never go there. I'll never, and some people are out of fellowship today. But we pray. And sometimes we extend hands of fellowship and love and grace and mercy, whether they receive it or not. There's a calling in the church to extend, to be proactive, to reach out. I believe we're doing that at Messiah. We reach out to people and say, come, come. My prayer is even for June 11th, that people are fully restored. If they ever left out of offense, if they ever left for any reason, for whatever reason, that for their benefit, that in their heart they were restored and reconciled. Whether they come to this church or not, they are in fellowship. And they won't constantly be looking for the back door. If anybody says anything, no, they're not running around with that chip on their shoulder, but they're free from that. And they're free to be in relationship, to be a son and daughter, and to be in fellowship. So I pray for that. Not again, we say, for their benefit, and for their blessing. God has a desire for his children. He doesn't want to see his children isolated. So there's many examples that we could talk about. I pray for marriages to be restored. I pray for friendships to be restored. I pray for families to be restored. Isn't it terrible when the enemy gets into a family and there's this infighting going on? He got this, she got that. It's no fair. And sometimes it's hard, and it requires humility, and sometimes it requires going first. Going first. And with faith, knowing that God can reconcile this. and he can bring and make whole which has been broken. So I'm sure the Lord's already spoken to you about things that need to be restored, relationships that need to be reconciled. I want to pray for that. I want you, it's your prayers as well. We want to pray, Lord, restore, reconcile, bring together that which is broken, where there needs to be love restored, grace and mercy. And that can be what flows out of relationships. I will say this, things that have been broken and mended can be mended stronger than they were at first. We know about broken bones. They say broken bones, right, are mended stronger. The body mends it stronger at the point of the break. And relationships can be that way too. I actually see the amazing thing of reconciliation, and I go back to marriage because I see it in my own life, is marriages actually can grow stronger when you can reconcile out of your differences and even in your own brokenness. And now you're working your own brokenness out in your own life and in marriage and relationships. It's amazing that marriages actually can grow stronger. And that's what, I don't know about you, but that amazes me. When two will be reconciled. And the Lord will be in the midst of that, bringing together. I think it's just the amazing thing of God. So don't run. Don't run from conflict. Don't cause conflict, but don't run from conflict. Because there's a working out that God actually wants to use that. And you'll minister out of that too. You will minister to others out of that. That very place that's been broken in your life, or that very place that you've had a hurt and that God has mended and brought reconciliation and a work there, that's a place that you will minister out of. So let me close there. But I wanted to get that in. I think that's so important.